Good morning, everyone. How are we today? Y'all didn't convince me at all. How are we doing today? Isn't it good to be in the house of God today? I am so thankful and grateful that we have the privilege, the honor, there we go, the honor and the privilege to be able to be in the house of God, to be able to worship together, to lift our voice in song, and to just enter into His presence and be refreshed, revived, and renewed. There is nothing else that is more rewarding than being able to come together and lift our voice in song and in worship to our God and to come into His presence and receive from His hand. Well, if you're joining us online, thank you so much today for being here with us. We are so happy that you are here. We are going to get right into the message that we have this morning. We've been dealing with a series called Family in Focus. Family in Focus. And this morning, I want to deal specifically with the title, Satisfaction. Satisfaction. And so, if you have your Bible, would you turn with me to the book of John, the book of John, chapter 7. The Bible is this book, and it has pages in it, and it has a bunch of different scriptures. And so, if you get the right one, the words of Jesus are in red, see? So, I know a lot of people now have phones and things like that, but I encourage you, everybody likes to read on their Kindle, they like to read on their phones and things. I like a good book. I like to be able to put my hands on it and flip through the pages. And so when you're there, I'm just burning daylight right now. So when you're there, say amen. John chapter 7. All right. Verse 37 through 39. Okay, we're going to be reading out of the New King James Version. You can follow along in your version, or you can glance up here at the screens. But it says this: On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Say, rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now I want to talk to us this morning about a thirst that is within each and every one of us that we are seeking to satisfy. From the time of our birth, when we enter into this world, and we breathe that first breath, we begin with a cry. There is a need within us that cannot be satisfied. Children may seek the affection of their mother or the approval of their father. Parents seek the appreciation, gratitude, and honor of their children. Husbands seek respect from their wives. Wives seek the devoted love and affection of their husbands. And we all seek the acceptance of our peers, friends, co-workers, and families. And yet, even if we had all of these things, it would not be enough. Humanity is driven in pursuit of satisfaction. We dedicate our entire lives to pursuing our passions, our desires, our hopes, our dreams, our aspirations. The history books are filled with the biographies of individuals who have achieved it all, and still we're not satisfied. Still, we're lacking something. If you turn in the book of Ecclesiastes to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 2 and verse 14, in the NLT it reads this way: Everything is meaningless, says the teacher, completely meaningless. I observed everything going on under the sun, and really, it is all meaningless, like chasing the wind. Solomon, he was one of the greatest kings of Israel. He was a man who was actually the product of a relationship that was not supposed to be. And yet God chose him to be the king of Israel. And as he was there feeling very inadequate before God at the moment that he had been selected as king, he laid out before God after having made these sacrifices and done all of these things, he lays out there before God. He was the one that built the great temple of Israel that was called Solomon's Temple. It says there was nothing like it ever before or ever after. And so he had dedicated the temple, and he's there, and he is laying out before God, and he says, God, it says that God showed up right there. And God said, what is it that you're looking for? What is it that you want? Now, I don't know how many of us have ever been in a situation where God showed up and said, what would you like? But I can think of about a million different things that each of us, and probably myself, would have said in that moment. And here Solomon says, give me wisdom to lead your people. Give me wisdom to lead your people. And God said, you could have asked for riches and I would have given that to you. But you asked for wisdom. So I'm going to make you the wisest man and I'm going to give you all the riches. So here's the wisest man that lived upon the face of the earth. And he writes this book of Ecclesiastes. And as you read through it, you hear this cry within his heart as he puts all of that wisdom and all of the knowledge to pursuing the truth about life. And it said he dedicated himself to learning the ways of all of humanity and the things and the way that they work. And it said that when he got to the end of it, he determined that it's all meaningless. Another translation says vanity. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. It's meaningless. It has no real worth. There is nothing that satisfies about it. Pursuing the things that are on this earth, pursuing your passions, pursuing your pleasures, pursuing your dreams, your aspirations, working all of your life, trying to achieve greatness, having all of the wealth in the world, having everything that you can imagine. And here Solomon looks at everything and says, it means nothing. It has no meaning to it. It's interesting how when we think about this pursuit and we begin to apply it to relationships, we see how that there are people, there are young men and young women filled with passion and desire and pursuing satisfaction, and they look for what they have need of in the lives of others, and they begin to look around trying to find a way to satisfy their needs. And so they enter into a relationship, whether it is a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or they get married or they're partnering, and they don't find the satisfaction. How many marriages have ended in divorce? How many marriages have ended in divorce because the husband or the wife simply makes the statement, you're not doing anything for me anymore. When I look at you, I don't feel the same way that I used to. When we spend time together, there's not that spark anymore. You don't do anything for me. I'm not satisfied. How many children do we hear about that have hatred in their heart or resentment in their heart toward their parents because they feel like they didn't give them what they needed? Whether it was a thing that they could have that somebody else had. It doesn't matter that their clothes work perfectly fine or their shoes work perfectly fine. They look at what other people have and they say, well, I don't have that and I need that. And so they become angry at their parents because they don't have the things that others have that they think that they need. Or perhaps it is because of a position that they find themselves in, where they are struggling and they are sitting there and they're saying, because my parents didn't give me the opportunities that I had desired, I wasn't able to go to that college or university, or I wasn't able to play on that team, or I had this and I lived in this circumstance or situation, and therefore they are upset and they have hatred and anger in their hearts towards their parents because they think that there is something that they did not have, that if they only had that, they would be satisfied. And yet, how many times do you see where some of the richest kids that grew up with everything are the ones that get in the biggest trouble, that have the greatest moments of depression, that find themselves struggling with significance, with worth, with something that's meaningful? I think of Steve Jobs, the man who, I would say, invented the iPhone, made Apple what it is. In the latter years of his life, he lived in an empty house. He didn't have any furniture. He wore practically the same clothing all the time. You look at the things that you see him wearing, and you go, wait a minute, weren't you wearing that sweater yesterday or the day before or the day before that? Because nothing satisfied. Nothing satisfied. All that wealth, all that success, and it didn't satisfy him. It wasn't satisfactory to him. Many times when we think about relationships, we're talking about family, and we think about relationships, many times what causes a relationship to fall apart is the fact that I feel like I have something that I need that is not getting met. We refer to it as my rights. My rights. We have these ideas of what I am supposed to be, and I have ideas of what you were supposed to be. And the disappointment is either that I'm not meeting what I believe that I'm supposed to be, or you're not meeting what I believe you're supposed to be. You're not fulfilling me. You're not satisfying me. It's about my rights. My rights. And we find ourselves in a position where we are left empty and wanting. Nowadays, everything is about convenience. It's about pleasure. It's about living for the moment. But why is it that if that is what satisfies, that people are still struggling with significance, with worth, and feeling empty? There was a woman in the Bible. I want us to turn to the book of John, chapter 4. This is a fairly long passage that we're going to read. Verse 7 through 26. It says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where you ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Here is this woman. What can we glean from this story? If there's anyone in Scripture whose life depicts dissatisfaction, it is the Samaritan woman. She was looking for something, but she couldn't find it. Five husbands and a live-in boyfriend later, and she still had not found what she was looking for. For her, the well was just a metaphor. She was talking about having to draw water every day to quench her thirst, but she was really talking about a much deeper thirst that she could not quench. She had tried religion, and it didn't work. She had tried relationships, and those didn't satisfy. She had done everything that she knew to do, and it hadn't worked. She had finally reached a place of frustration where she said, "To hell with it all. I'm done trying to save face. I don't care what people think about me. I don't care what people say about me. I'm done with people. I've tried everything and nothing works. Nothing satisfies. It's all vanity. It's all meaningless. So what's the point in trying? What is the point in trying?" And then Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up. In the middle of her doubts, in the middle of her frustration, in the middle of her isolation, in the middle of her depression, in the middle of her chaos, in the middle of her confusion, in the middle of all of her mess, Jesus showed up. Now I want you to watch this. Jesus asked her to give him what she did not have, because he knew that she needed what only he could give. Jesus asked her to give him what she did not have, knowing that she needed what only he could give. Jesus only had to engage her, and it all started coming out. It all started coming out. She had a well, but it was bitter. It was contaminated. The water was bitter, and it could not quench her thirst. Listen to the things that she was saying. You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan. My goodness. First thing out of her mouth is this bitterness, this frustration, this anger. And then she pushed back, you have nothing to offer me. You have nothing to offer me. You don't even have a pot to draw water. How is it that you're going to give me something? You have no way to satisfy my thirst. She'd already been there. She'd already been through men, and she was through with men. She didn't want anything to do with what men trying to get something from her. And in her mind, this was just another man trying to get something from her. Who do you think you are? She was saying. You think you're better than the one who gave us this well? Isn't that what she said? She said, you don't have anything to draw with. You think you're better than our father Jacob? She had a well. We all have wells. We all have things that are in our lives. And she was frustrated. She was upset. And every time she opened her mouth, what was inside was coming out. See, we are in a position where we are thirsty. We're not satisfied. And the waters that we have are contaminated. They're bitter. And they do not satisfy our lives. Some of us have bitterness. Some of us have anger. Some of us have resentment in our hearts. Some of us are dealing with rejection. Others, every time that we open our mouth, all you can hear is vulgarity or profanity or uncontrolled lust, foolishness, pride, insecurities, lies, or manipulation. It all comes out. What you have inside, when you open your mouth, it starts coming out. Luke 6:45 says, fear not. It says, for out of the abundance of the heart, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. None of this satisfies. All of it leaves you thirsty. It's all meaningless. Jesus said, it's obvious that you are still thirsty. If you would drink from my well, you'd never thirst again. He said, my well will make your well satisfy you. My well will make your well satisfy you. He said, out of your being will flow rivers of living water. Those who drink of the waters of life that I am offering will never thirst again, for out of your being will flow rivers of living water. If you will drink from my well, your well will satisfy you. That's what Jesus said. Now watch what she does. She said, give me to drink so that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. You notice that she was talking about two different things there. She wasn't just talking about the physical water, because she said, give me to drink so that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. She recognized that Jesus was saying, there is a thirst inside of you. There is a thirst inside of you that must be quenched. And she was saying very clearly, I'm thirsty, and I can't quench my thirst. Give me some of that water because I am sick and tired of not being able to quench my thirst. I'm sick and tired of not being able to be satisfied. I'm sick and tired of having to go from one thing to another, trying to find satisfaction in life and not being able to find it. I'm thirsty. Give me of this living water. She said, give me to drink so that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Now she started out saying, what can you give me that I can't get for myself? That's where she was when she first started talking to Jesus. What can you give me that I can't get for myself? And she said, this is my sacred well. This is my sacred well. And then here she's saying, I'm thirsty. And my sacred well does not satisfy. We all have our sacred wells. We all have that one thing that is our go-to. Every time we feel depressed, every time we feel discouraged, you know what I'm talking about. I know that I'm talking to somebody right now. For some of you, it's that drink that you can't wait to get to your lips. For someone, it's flipping through pictures or watching things that you know don't satisfy. But it's your sacred well. I'm start meddling now. For some, it's your Netflix and popcorn or a bowl of ice cream. I know I'm messing with somebody. For some, it's hours lost in social media or in your favorite game. Now I'm about to get in some serious trouble. For some of you, it's your deer blind, or a fishing boat, or a golf course, or a football game. I may have not mentioned your sacred well, but you know that every one of us has one. It's our go-to when we are thirsty. Now, I recognize some of our habits aren't bad. There was nothing bad about Jacob's well, right? But Jesus had to get her to a place where she stopped holding as sacred that which did not satisfy. Some of us need to stop drinking from wells that don't quench our thirst. We need to hear what Jesus is saying. Keep drinking from that well, and you will still be thirsty. Drink from my well, and you will be satisfied. Now watch what happens. When he finally got her to admit that her sacred well did not satisfy, and she asked for a drink from his well, he said, go get your husband. She said, I don't have one. Jesus said, you're right. You've had five, and now you're just shacking up. Jesus wasn't just messing with her. How many of you understand that? He wasn't just messing with her. He was trying to get her to a place of recognition that nothing in her life satisfied her thirst. He wanted her to see and understand that her relationship problems were directly connected to her unquenchable thirst. He was trying to get her to recognize, yes, I have something that you need. I have this thing that you want to drink, and it will satisfy you. And yes, I have finally got you to admit and to recognize and realize that the sacred well that you have had, that is your go-to, that you keep going back to, that thing does not satisfy you, and therefore you are asking me to give you of the waters that satisfy, but now I need to also point you to this thing in your life that is a mess that you keep going back through over and over and over again. All of these problems that are in your life, all of these things that you seem to accumulate, the men that keep piling up, the problems that keep coming your way, and the things that you have keep doing over and over and over again, those are problems because you're still thirsty and you're trying to satisfy your thirst through something that doesn't work. Jesus was about getting her to a point of recognition that he was the only one that could satisfy her thirst. He was the only one that could satisfy her thirst. The only way to come to Jesus and drink from the waters that satisfy is to embrace his truth. Is to embrace the truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I am the way, the truth, and the life." Referring to the Holy Spirit, Jesus called him the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth. She was much closer to the truth, but she had not yet taken the final step. She had one last hang up. Her entire life and her upbringing, she had to deal with rejection. It was an us versus them mentality. She didn't know how to move past it. She didn't know how to get past this racial tension that she had experienced all of her life, feeling like she was a second-class citizen, always being looked down upon, always being talked bad about, always being treated like she was the scum of the earth. She couldn't get past it. It was the final hurdle for her. She asked Jesus, "Who is right? Who is right? My people or your people?" That's what she asked him. She said, "Your fathers say that we have to worship in the mountain. My fathers say that we worship here. Who's right?" And Jesus responded to her, "That doesn't matter. None of that matters. Cultural or racial identity will never satisfy you. Cultural or racial identity will never satisfying you. If every single person were to receive full cultural and racial acceptance from everyone else, from every single person on the planet, if you were one person and you were the only person that was dealing with racial and cultural things, I want you to hear what I'm saying. And you were dealing with that rejection, and every single person on the planet made you understand and know that they gave you the full respect that you deserved. If that was the case, it would still leave you thirsty. It would still leave you feeling dissatisfied. Because in the end, it's all meaningless. It's all meaningless. The Apostle Paul said, "Everything that I have gained, I count as loss to know Christ." To know Christ. When our identity is found in things, when our identity is found in culture, when our identity is found in social acceptance or racial acceptance, when that is what we are seeking for and that is what we are trying to find, that will never leave us satisfied. There will always be something empty within us, because the only thing that satisfies is whenever we recognize our true identity as children of God and citizens of heaven. We're not about the United States of America or Mexico or Australia or Africa or England or Russia or China. It doesn't matter any of those things, because it's really about you and I, as the children of God, belong to the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you." I don't know about you, but this world is not my home. This world is not my home. There will always be problems in this world until Jesus returns. But I'm looking forward to the day of his coming, because I understand that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. And there will be one kingdom, and there will be one king. And we, the church, those who believe and embrace our identity as the children of God, will find that true identity. We'll find the acceptance that we're looking for. We'll find the peace that we are looking for. I want you to hear what I'm about to say right now. There will always be somebody that hates you. There will always be someone who hates you. Jesus said, "If they hated me, they're going to hate you." But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Cultural acceptance is not what we are looking for. The only thing that satisfies is the love and acceptance of our Heavenly Father. Let the world hate me. Let the world hate me. As long as Jesus loves me, let the world reject me. As long as Jesus accepts me. There is only one love that satisfies me, and it is the love of my Heavenly Father. There is only one identity that I care about, and that is my identity as a child of God. More than ever, families need to find their identity in the family of God. Parents, if you want to give your children identity that satisfies, help them discover their identity as children of God. Mom, dad, husband, wife, daughter, son, your purpose and meaning can never be satisfied by another. Satisfaction only comes when our identity is found in God, our Heavenly Father. Young person, listen to me. Married person, listen to me. Your partner will inevitably leave you unsatisfied. The only water that satisfies our thirst is the water that Jesus offers. The only lasting satisfaction that you will find from another person comes from the Jesus in them. I want us to go back to the story. Jesus spoke to her, and he said, "Worship the Father in spirit and in truth." He said to her that the thing that would satisfy her was embracing her identity as a child of God and living in that, because that is true worship. There was one final step that she had to take. She was hearing the truth. It was hitting her right in her heart. And so she said, "When Messiah comes, he will reveal the truth to us." Jesus said, "I who speak to you am he. I am salvation. I am your salvation. I am your hope." I tried to find another place in the scripture where Jesus spoke so directly of who he was. And you know, I can't find it. There is one other time, and it was at his trial. As he stood before them, those who were accusing him, and they said, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the living God?" And you know what he said? "You said it." And with those words, they chose to kill him. The only one, the only one to whom Jesus said, "I'm the Messiah," was the one who was thirsty. The one who was searching. The one who was desperately looking. Jesus is right here this morning. And he's reaching out to us with his arms wide open. He's looking for those who recognize that there is nothing else in this world that can satisfy their thirst. He is looking for those who have reached the conclusion that their sacred wells can't do it. He's looking for those who have reached the conclusion that their relationships can't do it. He's looking for those who have reached the conclusion, my racial tensions and my problems, they're not going to fix anything. My acceptance, my rejection, my past, everything in my life, it doesn't matter. I realize I need the truth. I need Jesus. And he's here and he's saying, "I'm here. I am your salvation." John 8:32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." She had to embrace the truth. She had to embrace Jesus as Messiah. As I'm closing this morning, what truth do you need to embrace in your life? What well do you need to unstop? What well do you need to stop drinking out of? We have a well inside. For some of us, the water is bitter. For others, the well is completely stopped up. I want us to read this scripture. It's in Genesis chapter 26, verse 18. It says, "And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped him up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them." Is your well dry? Has your well been filled in by the enemy? It's time to dig those wells again. How do we dig the wells? By embracing the truth. We have to get in the presence of God and drink from those living waters. Drink from His Word. Let His Word become that living water pouring out of you. Embrace His Holy Spirit. Allow the living waters to flow. As we enter into His presence in worship, as we worship Him in spirit and in truth, His Holy Spirit inside of us begins to pour out fresh, living water, quenching our thirst, quenching our thirst. He alone can satisfy us. Only He. John 4:14. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst again. But the water I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And John 7:38, "He who believes in me, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Will you believe? Will you believe? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you are here today and you recognize that you're thirsty, I want you to know that Jesus is here offering you living water. If you're tired of drinking from wells that don't satisfy, Jesus is offering you satisfaction. If you're tired and weary of the journey and have lost hope, I want you to know that Jesus is here to offer you hope and rest. Stop running. Stop fighting. Embrace the truth. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus and drink from the waters of life. He alone can satisfy. He is the one you have been searching for. Only He. He is here, and His arms are wide open, ready to receive you as His own, ready to give you identity, ready to give you purpose, ready to give you the satisfaction that your heart longs for. He is the well that won't run dry. Come to Jesus and be satisfied. If you are here and you say, "I need Jesus. I need to believe in Jesus, and you would like to receive him this morning as your Lord and Savior, I would ask that you would raise your hand right where you are. Right where you are, would you just raise your hand and say, I am here and I'm saying yes to Jesus. I'm saying yes to Jesus. If you're watching this online and you're hearing this message and your heart is saying, I need this, I'm thirsty, I'm thirsty and I need Jesus and I need to say yes to him, I want you right now, just right where you are, just raise your hand. Let us know that you're doing that right now. Let us know that you're saying yes to Jesus. I want us to pray this together. Dear Jesus, I recognize my sins. I recognize my failures. I recognize that there is nothing in this world that can satisfy. I recognize that I need you. I recognize that you have the waters of life. And I run to you. And I say, yes, Lord, I choose to believe. I'm going to stop drinking from those other wells. I'm putting my faith and my hope and my trust in you as my Lord and Savior. And I receive you into my heart, into my life. May you quench my thirst. May you come and give me the hope that I'm looking for, the peace that I'm looking for. May you bring healing to my heart and fill me up, Lord, with your love, that I may be satisfied. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we believe that you have become a child of God. Welcome to the family of God. We are so thankful for you. Would you give the Lord a praise in this place? There is a song that has been penned, and the lyrics say, spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly. Would you let the river of life begin to flow from within you? Will you allow him to bring healing to you and to your family and to the nations? Would you let yourself receive from him this morning? I'm going to pray for you, and there are those that are here on the prayer wall that are ready to pray with you as well. If you feel like your well needs to be clean, don't leave here without letting someone come into agreement with you and praying with you this morning. Would you stand with me as we are closing? Heavenly Father, I pray for every single person within the sound of my voice, whether here in this room or online or watching at a later time. I ask that you, Holy Spirit, would begin to reveal your truth to us in ways that we have never experienced before. I pray, Lord God, that you would cause us to turn from the things that do not satisfy and to turn toward the one who satisfies our every need. You are the good shepherd. You are the faithful friend. You are the good father who loves us, who cares for us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to turn to you. And may we receive living waters as we embrace your truth and we lift our voice in worship and get in your word and let your word become that living water within us. Thank you, O God, that you are working in us your salvation. Lord, I pray your blessing over every single person that's here, every single person that's watching or listening, that you would go, Lord, and that you would surround them with your love, that you would surround them with your peace, that you would fill them anew, fill them afresh, fill them anew. Let that water, that living water, that wellspring of life begin to flow even now in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, that you would cause those wells to become unstopped, that you would cause all that bitterness, all the anger, all the frustration, all of those things, Lord, to be removed in the name of Jesus. Make the bitter water sweet as we receive the branch of life, your word, into our hearts. Thank you, oh God, that you purify us by your word. We love you and we praise you for all of these things. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and may he give you his peace. In the precious name of Jesus, amen and amen. If you agree with that, would you give the Lord a clap offering?